This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Utopia Media Medical News Network. We're about to speak with Jason Mark, who's an attorney at Parker and Wakeman Law Firm. Welcome to Utopia Media Medical News Network.
Thank you.
You're suing Ortho McNeil about Ortho Evra. You were doing that back in July. The Associated Press published a story months ago pointing to the risk and increased cardiovascular of increased cardiovascular events from the higher effective doses of estrogen generated by the Ortho Evra patch. The AP published an article about the, well, I don't know whether we can call it a cover-up, yesterday. What's taken so long in light of Vioxx and other such cases for Ortho McNeil to issue a warning?
Well, that's a big problem. You know, we know that the patch is a product that has been aggressively marketed with TV advertising directly to consumers, and we know that women who sought to use the patch as a form of birth control had a right to know about its risks. What we know now with all of the latest developments is that it's clear that these women were not informed about the risks and the increased exposure to the different hormones that they would be exposed to with this product. And they didn't know about the increased rate of the thromboembolic events that the patch causes.
Okay, let's just do a little bit of medical background here. What exactly, medically speaking, is the risk, the increased risk of Ortho Evra birth control patch, particularly as compared to oral contraceptives?
Well, there are several problems with the patch, but the primary risk relates to the increased risk of blood clots, pulmonary embolisms, deep vein thrombosis, heart attacks, strokes, and that all stems from what is called the increased exposure or the increased area under the curve, which talks about the hormone levels that are in a woman's systemic circulation.
So in fact, the level of estrogen, the hormone, is higher for a longer period of time with the birth control patch versus the pill.
That's exactly right. That refers to the steady state. That refers to the degree of exposure to both the estrogen component of the patch and the progestin component of the patch. With the patch, as compared to the pill, the exposure is much higher.
Now, is that pretty much a function of the fact that the stomach destroys some of the active ingredients, whereas a patch that goes directly into the blood doesn't?
Well, I mean, the reason, the primary basis for getting this patch approved was safety data from the pill, and this is where one of the real ironies comes up.
Okay.
Because the pill and the patch are completely different products,
right,
with completely different pharmacokinetic profiles.
And that wasn't taken into account by the FDA before the patch was approved?
The FDA approved this product based primarily on very minimal testing that was done with the patch and based primarily on data that was generated in connection with the pill.
Now, of course, Ortho McNeil is a leading producer of oral contraceptives as well, right?
They certainly manufacture and distribute oral contraceptives.
Why, from your point of view, did they put so much effort into essentially taking people off the pill and putting them on the patch?
Well, we know that the patch is the only product of its kind on the market.
You mean they're the only company that makes it?
They're the only company that makes and sells a hormonal contraceptive patch.
Okay. So they're the whole industry. They're the whole market sector, isn't it?
To my knowledge, that's right.
And so they could expect to get a bigger share of that market than they have competitors in the oral contraceptive area.
They do.
Okay. Didn't it occur to anyone, I guess this is sort of a rhetorical question, didn't they know that using the patch produces a higher blood level of the hormones than a pill? And I guess by they, I mean both Ortho McNeil and the FDA.
Well, I mean, you know, we all saw the reference in the various news accounts about this internal memo over at Ortho McNeil.
Well, tell people who haven't heard about it what that internal memo said, when it happened and so on.
That an internal memo from Ortho McNeil that talked about the company's refusal in 2003 to fund a study that compared the patch to the orthocycline pill. And according to the AP article on this, it was because of concerns that there was too high a chance that the study may not produce a positive result for Evra for the patch, and there was a risk that Ortho Evra may be the same or worse than orthocycline.
Now, was it the responsibility of Ortho McNeil to do that study, or the responsibility of the FDA, or who was minding the store there?
Well, I mean, this is Ortho McNeil's product. Ortho McNeil is a subsidiary of Johnson & Johnson, and of course, if they're going to be seeking approval for this product, if they're going to be advertising this product aggressively to consumers, they obviously have a responsibility to make sure that the product is safe, they have a responsibility to make sure that the product is adequately tested, and they have a responsibility to make sure that they prioritize patient safety.
And so they have an ongoing responsibility to monitor its safety?
I would think so, of course. I mean, this is the company that's selling the product.
When was it approved by the FDA?
The patch was approved by the FDA in November of 2001.
Okay. And how many women would you say have used it since its inception, and how many are using it now?
There was a reference in one of the articles I saw today to 4 million women. I couldn't tell you...
At one time or another?
Yeah. I couldn't tell you exactly how many are using it today, but it's a big number.
Okay, tell us about how your firm, Parker and Wakeman, got involved in this issue, in this case.
Well, we're a firm that focuses on pharmaceutical litigation. We have a whole department here that's devoted to different pharmaceutical products, and we have seen accounts, and we've been contacted by people who have suffered injuries of various sorts as a result of using the patch.
So people know that you're in the business of representing victims of pharmaceutical
That's right.
Problems.
That's right. We represent consumers who have been the victims of dangerous pharmaceutical products and dangerous medical devices.
When did you file your first case, and how many cases do you have pending now? Are you going to be bringing a series of individual cases, or one big class action suit, or what's the litigation strategy there?
We have cases that are pending in both state and federal courts. Those cases are at various stages, but we're looking forward to moving forward with the discovery process and finding out exactly what these companies knew, when they knew it, and why they conducted themselves the way they did.
Okay, are these suits against Ortho McNeil as such, or against Johnson & Johnson, or what's the corporate face that is being presented to you?
Sure. Well, Ortho McNeil, as I mentioned, is a subsidiary of Johnson & Johnson. In the cases that we have filed, both of those entities have been named as defendants.
Okay. And what do you know right now about what they knew about the health? Before further discovery, what do you know now about what they knew, or Ortho McNeil / Johnson & Johnson knew about the health risks of the patch before it was approved and since it's been approved?
Well, since it's been approved, there have been a large number of what we call adverse event reports that have been communicated to the FDA, which Ortho McNeil should be aware of.
So is the process that individual physicians who see patients who have these problems have a statutory responsibility to report them to the FDA, and the FDA has some kind of regulatory rule or responsibility to report them to Ortho McNeil? How does that work? Who's responsible for reporting these events?
Well, it's a voluntary reporting system. The complaints such as this, adverse event reports such as this, get reported by physicians. They can be reported by the consumers themselves, and there is a tracking system within the FDA, and it's something that the company ought to be aware of and should be actively monitoring.
Does the FDA sort of aggregate them and send them off once a month to the companies that make the drugs involved, or do they do it when they feel like it, or is there something?
Exactly how the FDA goes about communicating each and every one to the company, I don't know.
Okay.
But like I said, I mean, all of these, whether it's a medical device report in a medical device case, or whether it's an adverse event report, the manufacturer of the product should be on notice of it.
Could you say something about the responsibility of physicians, either in this case in particular or in general, to monitor the health of their patients? Do, do they see this and know that? Does a gynecologist know or routinely monitor the estrogen levels in the patients who are using this product? And should they know or do they know when the levels are too high, or are they just pawns in the hands of women who see television commercials and think they're going to have a lot of fun and be safe if they take the if they use the patch?
Well, I mean, of course, you know, physicians have a responsibility to, you know, treat their patients and monitor their patients. But remember that in a situation such as this, the physician is receiving the information that they're receiving from the drug company itself.
Right.
You look at the package insert for the OrthoEver birth control patch, there's a section that contains information to the physician. There's also a section that contains information to the patient.
As those exist now, do they prominently mention this risk to the patient so that the doctors will know about it?
In my opinion, the risks that are in these package inserts are entirely inadequate.
Okay.
The warnings have been entirely inadequate, and then you see today, of course, that there's a change in those warnings that highlights and underscores these increased risks.
Now, what was the chain of events with that? Ortho McNeil change the warning? Tell the FDA? The FDA make them change it? Is it changed? What's the status of the warning in terms of the pipeline of patient and physician information?
Well, the exact sequence of events to bring about this type of a warning and what exactly transpired in this situation, where we will be uncovering throughout the course of this litigation.
As part of the discovery?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So that's not, no one really knows that at this point.
Well, I mean, we know, like I said, that with the adverse event reports, there's been an increased rate, reportedly as high as 14 times as that of the pill. And so when you have such an increased rate of adverse events taking place, it raises a red flag.
Are the television commercials touting this product still running, as far as you know?
They've been running. I have not heard anything about the companies pulling those ads. But they've been running regularly.
Now, what about pulling the drug? Is there any talk of that you've heard?
I don't know that there's been talk at the regulatory level of pulling the drug. We certainly believe that this is a very dangerous product that should not be on the market.
Now, you're not physicians there, but I'm sure you're in touch with them. What do you understand to be the consensus view on what women who are taking or using the patch now ought to do in terms of discontinuing it or just talk to their physicians? Or what's the story on that?
Well, women, of course, need to speak with their physicians. I can tell you that throughout our investigation of this, we have found that this product poses very serious risks to women who use it. And we've also found that there are safer alternative options available to them.
Okay, now the FDA has been subject to a lot of criticism recently, and it's changed its management. Have you noticed any improvement in their ability to protect consumers against the dangers of pharmaceutical products that have serious side effects like this under the new administration there?
Well, the FDA, of course, is supposed to be committed to improving patient safety, and there are certainly instances when the FDA is not provided with extremely important information, and there are other instances when the FDA doesn't require certain information. In this case, the FDA allowed this product to get approved, like I said, with very minimal testing on the patch itself and based primarily on data generated in connection with the pill. So it's really an agency that needs to place patient safety first. We are in a climate now where there's more advertising by pharmaceutical companies today than ever before, because the advertising is done to increase sales, and this all needs to be about patient safety, not sales.
Okay, why don't you wrap up by telling us what people who think they may have a problem here with the patch can do to get in touch with you?
They can contact me at the law firm of Parker and Wakeman at 1-800-529-4636. They can ask for me, Jason Mark, and we'd be happy to speak to them.
And is there a website for your firm that they could also go to get more information or to
there
contact you through that?
There certainly is.
What's that?
The website is www.yourlawyer.com, and my email address is jmark, excuse me, @yourlawyer.com.
Okay, good. I want to thank you for talking to us today, and presumably we'll be able to talk some more as this as the cases move forward in the courts.
Sure, be happy to do it.
Thanks very much.
Sure. Thanks.
Okay.